You're just in time for the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, the radio outreach of the Christian Research Institute. Our purpose here at CRI is to equip Christians to provide biblical answers to life's most important questions, to read the Bible for all it's worth, and counter the teachings of cults and world religions that deviate from the plumb line of God's Word, because life and truth matter. For more information, to order resources or donate, call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. Now here's the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. As always, it is great to be in studio and to have this opportunity to answer your questions from all around the world. Our contact information, and then write to our callers on the web. It's equip.org. Via the mail, it's Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, resource consultants are standing by. That number, 888-7000, and the letter CRI. A lot of you hanging on right to the phone calls. First up, Greta in Tucson, Arizona. Hi, Greta.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I have a very important question to ask.
Mm-hmm.
I think the devil has invaded me.
Mm.
You know, when they say that God knew you in your mother's womb,
mm-hmm.
See, I'll be 80 years old, and I'm thinking, if he knew me, why did he have me go this far for this to happen? I don't think I've ever done anything right in my life.
Hmm.
I was baptized at 16, and I really didn't know why I was getting baptized. I thought I did, but I guess apparently I didn't.
Hmm. And Greta, why do you feel as though the devil has invaded your life?
Well, I thought I heard God say that he was through with me. Because my husband, I know, definitely was saved. I don't think my husband ever really loved me, though.
But Greta, your heavenly Father can nonetheless love you.
I know, and I know things that I've heard now and everything, that I should have got a divorce then. But I guess, you know, I really didn't want it. I had 5 beautiful children. The only thing I'm sorry about, I didn't take him to church.
Greta?
Yes?
You can't go backwards, but you can certainly go forward. And I can analyze 80 years of your life. Certainly there have been trials along the way. But I think what's ultimately important, Greta, is to recognize that if you now recognize you're a sinner, and you repent of your sin, and you receive Jesus Christ, then he will be as real to you today as the very flesh upon your bones. And you can have not just a changed life, but an exchanged life. You can have the life of Christ within you even now. And you can not only have an eternity with God in the future, but whatever remaining years you have in this life, you can have life and have it more abundantly. This is the promise that Christ not only saved us by his death, but he saved us into his life. And you can have that life and have it abundantly now. You can know that you are a child of God in the present, Greta.
But how? Because when I go to bed at night, when I get down on my knees and pray, and when I get in bed, it feels like someone is pulling me off the bed. Even when I'm on my knees praying, it feels as if someone keeps pulling me, the feet up on underneath me.
Well, Greta, you said something earlier, and I think it's important to recognize that what you said is true, because it comes straight out of the Bible, that God knit you together in your mother's womb, that you're fearfully and wonderfully made, that all the days ordained for you are written in his book before even one of them came to be, and that if you place your hands and your feet and the entirety of your being into the loving hands of your Heavenly Father, then greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. This is a certain promise that we have from the Scripture, which exhorts you, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. The devil has schemes, but the Lord who knit you together in your mother's womb is far more powerful than Satan. He is the one who created Satan. He's the one who created Satan, not as Satan, but as a glorious angel who chose to rebel against him. But if you don't follow in rebellion, but you follow in repentance, then the Lord of glory will protect you against principalities and powers of darkness. And he will make your last years your best years. And he will instill in you the hope of glory. And it's true, Greta, that the Christian life does not give you a peaceful way to come to terms with all of the difficulties that you encounter, particularly when you're in your latter years. But it does give you a way to overcome them through the hope of resurrection. Your Heavenly Father loves you with an everlasting love, and he seeks to embrace you and to give you comfort. And you can't even do this, Greta, by yourself. You can only do this in unity with the body of Christ. So, Greta, what you need is not just an electronic voice. What you ultimately need is you need me to bring someone to you that can be the arms and the feet of Jesus Christ in your life, that can give you comfort. And if you hang on, that's what I will try to arrange. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to James. He's listening in East Parker, Connecticut. Hi, James.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm doing well. This is my first time listening to the station, and I'm trying to go back to church, and I just want to be, you know, I started reading the Bible. But I want to know, should this be something that I take literally or figuratively? Say, like, Noah's Ark or the Great Flood itself.
Yeah.
Is that something that I take literally or figuratively? I'm not sure.
Well, it's something that you take literally. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us whether the flood was global with respect to the earth or universal with respect to humanity. But what the Bible does teach us is that there was a great flood. There was a Noah and there was an ark. And if you read this as a historical narrative, you recognize that this is something that happened in human history. And why do I believe it? Well, because common sense demands that we allow for both natural and supernatural explanations to make sense of the universe in which we live. So if you're truly open-minded, you don't discount supernatural events. You allow for supernatural events just as you allow, in some cases, for natural explanations for things that you encounter in the universe. But realities such as the origin of life, the phenomenon of the human mind, they pose intractable difficulties for merely natural explanations. And I would say this as well. Reason forces us to look beyond the natural world to a supernatural designer who not only sustains the world, but supernaturally intervenes in the affairs of his created handiwork, which is precisely what the Genesis account of the flood entails. If we're willing to believe that God created the heavens and the earth, as opposed to the untenable notion that nothing created everything, that life came from non-life, and that the non-life that came from life gave rise to objective morals, we'll have little difficulty believing the Genesis account of the Noah figure and the flood. So this is a supernatural intervention of God into the affairs of humanity. So God created the universe. He can certainly intervene at any point that he wants. And certainly the Genesis account of the flood is a historical narrative of that very thing. But again, the flood account doesn't let us know whether the flood was universal with respect to humanity or whether it was global with respect to the earth. What it does tell us, and by the way, most of humanity was in a very short area, a very small area, encapsulated area around the Fertile Crescent. So this is certainly plausible to believe that it was a local flood and that the language that is used is intended to communicate that it was a flood that was universal with respect to human beings who were congregated in a fairly small geographic area at that particular time. We'll be right back.
Being asleep at the wheel is dangerous. In fact, it can be downright deadly. That should be a wake-up call to Christians who are dangerously asleep at the wheel when it comes to wokeism. It's a deadly ideology that permits no discussion or debate. Simply obey or else. Make no mistake, people who are tolerant of such madness and incivility aren't being gracious. They are being dangerously and perhaps fatally naive. So grave are the threats of wokeism to civilization as we have known it that we have dedicated an entire special edition of the Christian Research Journal to analyzing this now rampant social and mental disease. To receive your copy of the special woke edition of the Christian Research Journal, visit equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Stay with us. Hank Hanegraaff will be back with more right after this.
Hank Hanegraaff has dedicated his life to defending truth because truth matters. Yet an encounter with Christians in the underground Church of China left Hanegraaff contemplating his Christian experience. They were experiencing something beyond truth. They were experiencing life. Truth Matters, Life Matters More by Hank Hanegraaff is two books in one. Because Truth Matters, Part 1 equips Christians to defend the essential truths of the historic Christian faith. In Part 2, Hank explains why life matters more and how we can experience the height of human existence, union with God. Prepare to move past intellectually knowing about God to experientially knowing God in Christ. To receive your copy of Truth Matters, Life Matters More, The Unexpected Beauty of an Authentic Christian Life, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org.
Bertrand Russell famously said, "Most people would rather die than think, and many of them do. Not so with CRI support team members. Support team members are not only serious thinkers, but their membership in CRI's support team helps to equip hundreds of thousands of fellow believers around the globe each and every month. Are you not a member? Then you're missing out. Not only do support team members form the backbone of Christian Research Institute's outreaches, but they enjoy their selection of resources from our Equipping Essentials library. To discover how you can make a difference 24/7 in equipping believers at home and abroad to stand for life and truth, check out the benefits of membership at equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org.
If you're not horrified, you should be. Because the relentless assaults of wokeism on sanity and common sense have now reached a fevered pitch. In fact, some astute observers see more than deranged ideologies at work. It's as though the gates of hell have been opened. And alarmingly, the speed of this mindless rush to chaos and potential civilizational collapse is gaining momentum daily. That means Christians need to wake up and wake up fast. One of the best alarm clocks is the upcoming special Woke edition of the Christian Research Journal. It contains sobering articles with penetrating analyses of a social disease that is reaching a flashpoint. To receive your copy of this special edition of the Christian Research Journal, visit equip.org. That's equip.org. or call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI.
And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and right back to our callers. Russell, listening in Somerville, Tennessee. Hi, Russell.
Hi, Hank. How you doing today?
Doing well, thank you.
I would like to have your opinion on the Gospel of Peter and Mary Magdalene and the Gospels that aren't in the Bible.
Yeah, well, those are late apocryphal Gospels, and the information that you find in those Gospels do not comport with reality. And one of the things that we say about the biblical Gospels is not that they were chosen by historical winners, but rather they demonstrate themselves to be divine as opposed to merely human in origin. And there are a lot of reasons by which we would demonstrate that to be absolutely factual and the case. You take, for example, the Gospel of John and compare it to a late gospel like the Gospel of Thomas or the Gospel of Judas. Even a lay person with very little training in analysis of texts can tell quickly that one corresponds to the whole, the other is an odd fit. In fact, if you read the Gospel of Judas, you'll end up laughing on the floor because it's very nonsensical. The same thing can be said with respect to the Gospel of Philip or the Gospel of Mary Magdalene or all kinds of other apocryphal Gospels. In fact, one that comes to mind all the time is the Gospel of Thomas, which is a Gospel that is so often propped up. But if you actually read it, you find out that it includes patently ignorant and politically incorrect passages, like a conversation that Peter was allegedly having with Jesus, where Peter says to Jesus, "Make Mary leave us, for females don't deserve life." And then Jesus says, "Look, I'll make her a male so that she can become a living spirit resembling males, for every female that makes herself male will enter the domain of heaven." Well, you read that and you realize, wow, this is completely antithetical to the teachings of Jesus Christ, who actually was countercultural. The culture had that opinion of females, but Jesus did not. He brought females into his inner circle and made them even so great in terms of complete ontological equality with men that they were the first to testify to the central event in the Christian faith, which is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. More could be said, but I've written about this in various areas, including an article in the Christian Research Journal. Let's go right back to the phone lines, talk to Stephen in Plato, Missouri. Hi, Stephen.
Hey, I just wanted to, if you could shed some light on the creation of light on day one, and then the separate creation of the sun, the moon, and the stars on day four. I don't understand it.
Well, you have to remember that the days of creation are given us not in a sense that we have a chronology of creation, but to remember the purposes of God in creation. There are some in the creationist community who suggest that God employed non-solar light to govern the days until he created the sun, moon, and stars on day four, but the biblical text literally says there was evening and there was morning, indicating that the first 3 days of creation were normal solar days encompassing daylight and darkness. And again, the tip-off ought to be for every one of us that those days of creation, therefore, are not rendered a chronology of creation as though you can figure out whether the sun, moon, and stars were created before day four or after day four, but rather give us a hierarchy of creation culminating in the crowning jewels of God's creation, humankind. So again, they're rendered literal solar days not to establish a chronology of creation, but to remember the purposes of God in creation. Let's go back to the phone lines and talk to Scott in St. Joseph, Missouri. Hi, Scott.
Hi, Hank. Thank you for receiving my call.
You're welcome.
I just have a very basic question. One of the strongest arguments for the existence of God is the complexity of life around us. But you don't get everything that we see around us from just a puddle of goo. And so then I've heard atheists turn that around and say, well, if you don't get something from nothing, then how did God come about in the first place? What's your answer to that?
Well, I give an answer in three parts. The first thing I would say is that unlike the universe, which according to modern science had a beginning, God is infinite and eternal, and therefore an infinite eternal being, God can logically as such be demonstrated to be the uncaused first cause of everything else. Secondly, I would say to suppose that because the universe had a cause, the cause of the universe had to have a cause simply leads to a logical dead end. And thirdly, I would point out that simple logic dictates that the universe is not merely an illusion. It didn't spring out of nothing. Nothing comes from nothing. It didn't eternally exist. The law of entropy predicts that a universe that would have eternally existed would have died of a heat loss an eternity ago. So the only plausible possibility remains is that the universe was made by an unmade cause greater than itself.
Mm-hmm. So that gets you back to God. But again, it's hard to just fathom how God would have come about from what?
Well, he didn't come about. That's why we say that he is the uncaused first cause. I mean, the universe, according to modern science, had to have a beginning. That's why we hold a Big Bang cosmology. That's the present cosmology that makes the most sense, given all the information that we have. But there's nothing whatsoever that dictates that the cause of the universe had to have a beginning. And to posit that simply leads to a logical dead end.
So God would have had to be in existence before really the universe. I mean, God had created the universe and then it went from there.
Well, precisely. Yeah, he's the uncaused first cause of everything that is. And that is the only logical explanation. I mean, there are only a few explanations, as I mentioned, with respect to the existence of the universe. It's either an illusion, and that carries little weight in an age of scientific enlightenment, or it sprang from nothing, and that flies in the face of common sense and logic and even logical laws of science or empirical laws of science, or the universe eternally existed. Again, laws of science shatter that hypothesis, so that leaves us with one other possibility found in the first book of the Bible. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And I think in an age of empirical science, no statement could be more certain, clear, or correct. If you want further information, I've written about this in the Creation Answer Book, which you can find on the World Wide Web at equip.org. Amanda, Houston, Texas. Hi, Amanda.
Hi, Hank. I barely just found you on the radio just recently, and so I'm new to you talk about.
Uh-huh.
But I do have a question. I started taking a class in the fall at the university, and it's Bible as literature, and I was wondering, with the faith that I have in Christ, is trying to read the Bible is it possible to read it from a secular perspective?
Well, it's not possible to read it from the perspective of philosophical naturalism, and most secular universities embrace, at least in part, if not in whole, the whole notion of philosophical naturalism and march lockstep to the tune of what is built on that edifice, which is the evolutionary hypothesis, which has to suppose, as I mentioned to the earlier caller, that nothing creates everything, that life comes from non-life, and that the life that comes from non-life produced morals. So if you have that kind of an environment, they're going to say at the very outset that you cannot invoke supernatural explanations. And therefore, they'll read the Bible in such a way as to denude it, to take out of the Bible the resurrection or the incarnation or the notion that God spoke and the universe leapt into existence. They'll also embrace the notions that kinds evolved into other kinds, which flies in the face not only of Scripture, but also of science, evidence in the soil itself. The fossil record says no. So the idea here is that if you read it in a purely secular fashion, then you're going to eliminate the supernatural. And you must be far more open-minded than your professors or any of you that would teach you that, because an open-minded person allows for both natural as well as supernatural explanations for what they encounter in the universe. So a purely secular way of reading the Bible would be to strip it of its majesty.
Okay. Well, that's what I was wondering, and I'm debating on whether to drop this class or not, and I did purchase your Has God Spoken book, and it's been excellent, as I just actually got it yesterday, or 2 days ago, so I barely started reading it, but I didn't know on how much it would affect me, this particular class, because, you know, I still have the opportunity to drop it, so I didn't know whether to drop the class or not.
Well, you know, here's the thing. It depends on how strong you are, Amanda. I see these kinds of things as opportunities. I know when I was in school, unfortunately, I had the same issue going on all the time. I had to deal with the culture in which I was living, not only the culture in general, but the school culture, which was teaching me things that were antithetical to what I was learning in terms of biblical teaching from my parents, and the two didn't coincide. So I thought that my parents were wrong and the Bible had to be discarded and that the secular community was right. It wasn't until I started looking at the evidence that I was fortified and now able to take the objection and use it as an opportunity. You may be in that same position. I mean, I don't think we have to fear the world because we have real explanations. The biblical worldview corresponds to reality.
Great. Well, thank you so much. I appreciate your time.
You got it, Amanda. Thank you so much for your call. And with that, we're out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Thanks for tuning in. We look forward to seeing you next time with more of the broadcast.
Thanks for tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Our website, equip.org, has an abundance of resources to sharpen your discernment skills and help you grow in life and truth. We provide books, videos, and informative articles. You can also listen to the broadcast, download archived programs, get answers to pressing Bible questions, or connect with us via social media. All this and more at equip.org. Again, the address is equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter.
Truth Matters, Life Matters More by Hank Hanegraaff is essentially two books in one. Because Truth Matters, Part 1 equips Christians to defend the essential truths of the historic Christian faith. In Part 2, Hank explains why life matters more and how we can experience the height of human existence, union with God in Christ. Simply put, the map is not the territory, the menu is not the meal. We cheat ourselves of authentic union with Christ when we elevate the message above the Messiah. Truth Matters, Life Matters More is a modern classic and the magnum opus of one of the great theological minds of our time. To receive Truth Matters, Life Matters More, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift in support of the life-changing work of the Christian Research Institute. That's 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org.